Continuing in our worship series, did you see what he just did? Right? And the passage we'll be looking at this morning is Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Look it up in the Bible. The Bible apps will have it on the screen behind us when we get to it. My grandparents, we call them Paul and Doc.
There's nothing.
They live on a lake in Louisiana for as long as I can remember. And the lake is called Toledo Bend. And it's on the border between Texas and Louisiana, and it is a lake where a lot of bass fishing tournaments happen, and so it's a fishing lake. It's where a lot of people go fishing, and they live right on the lake. And so I got to go fishing with them quite a bit. But there was one summer that I went to visit, and I wanted to go bass fishing, and my grandfather said, "It's not the right time of year or the right time of day to really be successful at bass fishing." But he said, "If you want to go out and sit on the boat, we'll go out and sit on the boat." So we went out and we would cast our. We didn't catch them, not one thing. But there were other times where we would go and we would tie off to a stump and we'd take crickets and we'd go brim fishing. And there was this one time that I remember where we went brim fishing, we tied off the stump. Every cricket we dropped in the water, we got fish. And it was, we came home with 120-something fruit. And it was just an awesome trip. It was one of those things that you remember as a kid.
One trip.
So we had just found the honey hole. It was just a place where we could, and they said they'd gone there a couple of times and been able to do the same thing. Right? In this passage, we're seeing some fishermen that were tired. Because fishing can be tiresome, especially back in that time. Casting nets, pulling them back in, and casting nets and pulling them back in. You know, in this passage, they're tired and they've given up for the day. And then Jesus shows up. So let's look now at Luke chapter 5, starting in verse 1. It says this. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and that's actually the Sea of Galilee. And he saw two boats by the lake. Fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took in nothing. But at your word, I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. This is the word of the Lord.
Praise be to God.
And so Jesus' ministry has just started. He's starting to call his disciples. In this he's calling his first, right? And so here he is. He already has a following. He's teaching. People are coming to know about him. And there's crowds pressing in on him. So he sees two empty boats, and he says, "Okay, I'm going to climb in one of these boats." And he climbs in the boat of Simon. And I don't think that was an accident. He picked Simon's boat. And he says, "All right, push off a little bit from the shore." And then he talked to people from there. And I think he was doing that so that he wouldn't be smothered by people. He was looking for a peaceful way to teach. And so he teaches, and so he then asks Peter to take the boat out into the deeper water and cast out his nets. Peter has been about this work all night. He's tired. He's basically saying, we were out all night, which was the time to go fishing, and we didn't catch anything. I'm tired. I'm tired. Have you guys ever been so exhausted that you just want to go to bed and sleep for hours and hours? I'm comes to mind in the last few years. I did a wedding that was probably like 3 or 4 hours away from home. Did a wedding for a young couple, and so I did the wedding, and then we stayed for the reception, and we probably didn't leave till 10:30 or 11 to come home. And we're driving home, and it's a 3 or 4 hour drive, so we're getting home 2 o'clock in the morning, and I have to get up and preach the next day. And so, you know, I wasn't exactly the most energetic that morning, but, you know, I felt the need that I needed to be there that morning to preach. And so, yes, I got through, I was tired, and I will say this, I probably took the best nap I'd ever taken that Sunday afternoon after that. But I was tired, and that's the one that came to mind, being tired in the last few years. But imagine or remember the time when you've been the most tired. And you're probably able to put yourself in Peter's shoes at this moment. You know, he's been out working, throwing out his nets and pulling them in, throwing out his nets and pulling them in, over and over again, and catching nothing. And he's come in, he's cleaning out his nets, and now Jesus is asking, "Hey, even though you're tired, I want you to go out and I want you to cast out your nets again." Peter obliges. Peter obliges. And in verse 5 it says that Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. But at your word, I will let down the nets." So he did it. I'm wondering what motivated him to do what Jesus asked. Right? Was it something that Jesus had said while he was preaching and teaching to the crowds? Was it a feeling he got about being in his presence? But in this passage, he calls him Master. In this time, in the time of the setting of this story, families would do everything that they could to have their children sit at the feet of a rabbi and learn. And so here is Jesus teaching his crowds, and Simon is there to hear the whole thing, and I'm sure he was sitting there saying, "Okay, this is a man that people look up to. And so, okay, you know, he deserves my respect and calls him Master." Right? It's possible that he's just paying deference to Christ because of his understanding of Scripture. Right? But Peter does what he asks. Perfect stranger to him, ask him to go out and to cast out his nets, and he does it. And then a miracle happens. He casts out his nets, right? And then they pull in these fish. You know, he casts them out thinking, "Okay, nothing's going to happen. I'm tired. I'm doing it just because he asked me to." And then what happens? He starts pulling it in, and there's so many fish that he has to call his buddies on the shore to come help him out. And they pull all these fish in, and both boats are so full that they begin to sink. Peter's astonished by this. He recognizes that God is at work. And at this moment, he's probably pretty aware that this man is special. This man is special. I mean, he's probably saying to himself, and I've said this in all the other sermons in the series, "Did you see what he just did? This man commands nature. I went out and threw my nets all night and I didn't get anything. I go with him, I throw out my nets, and I've got more than I can ask for. This man commands nature. I can't believe what just happened." And it says he and all the people there were astonished. But then he recognizes something. Recognizes something about his true nature. Just by getting this glimpse of Christ and his ability to command nature, he recognizes something. In verse 8 it says, "But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.' For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish." So in this moment where he's seeing God work, when he's seeing God work in the person of Christ, he recognizes that he is not worthy to be in the presence of this man. says, depart from me, for I am a simple man. He falls down at Jesus' knees, is what it said. He falls down. And I've used these statements over and over again. You may have heard them before, or maybe you haven't, but the first statement is, cheer up. You're worse than you know. And basically what's going on here is Simon, who maybe before this thing happened, these thoughts that I'm a good person. In this moment, when he's giving the glimpse of the divinity of Christ, he's saying, I'm a sinner. I'm broken. Yes. I don't deserve the love of God. I don't deserve to be in his presence. And that drives him to his knees. But then, what does Jesus do? He calls Peter, Simon, Peter, James, and John, sons of Zebedee, to follow him. These are not men of renown. These are not men who are rubbing elbows with the who's who of Israel's society. They're not Pharisees. They're not Sadducees. They're not the scribes in the temple. They are fishermen, right? And probably not many people know who they are. And yet Jesus is sitting here saying, I want you guys to come and follow me. I want you guys to be my students. You don't have to pay me anything, right? So I'm not like the other rabbis. I'm not looking for the cream of the crop, you know? You guys are the ones I'm paying. And it's noteworthy that they leave their jobs, they leave their livelihoods, they leave their families, they leave everything behind the following. They've only had a glimpse of his glory at this point. And we know that his disciples don't truly know who he is completely until the resurrection. But in this moment, they've got enough of a glimpse of who he is, what his nature is, that they are leaving everything to follow him. So, what they know of him at this moment is only the tip of the iceberg. They're all saying to themselves. I'm sure the people on the shore were astonished as well. They're all saying to themselves, did you see what he did? This is an amazing man. I want to see more. If he can do this, I want to see what else he can do. So yeah, it's an easy choice. Let's follow him. It's also interesting to me that this is how Peter was introduced to Christ. Because after the resurrection, we see another glimpse of Peter, or another scene of Peter having a similar miracle happen. So, we know that that Peter, on the night that Jesus was betrayed, when he was being put on trial, that Peter denied him three times. So he said, I don't even know that. Don't try to associate me with him. I don't know him. He was afraid. He was afraid what was happening to Jesus was going to happen to him. So he didn't want that. So he denied even knowing Jesus. Even after he said he wasn't going to. When Jesus said he was. And Jesus was right. But Peter denied him three times. And after Christ was crucified and he went to the grave, he and his friends went fishing. He was ashamed of himself. He didn't feel worthy of being able to follow Christ anymore. And so he went back to doing what he was doing before he knew Christ. And what happens? We know that they're out fishing. They're out fishing. Jesus comes to the shore. They don't recognize him at this point. And he tells them to cast out their nets. They cast out their nets and they pull in a load of fish. Pull in a load of fish. And I'm sure at this point, those that knew Christ and knew of Jesus' introduction to Peter were sitting there saying, okay, he's just reminding us who he is. He's reminding us who he is. And Peter then is restored. Peter verses 10 and 11 of this passage, it says, "And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, 'Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be fishers of men. You will catch men.' When they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him." Jesus gave them a task to be fishers of men, and they had abandoned that because they felt ashamed that they had run away and fled and not honored Christ the way that they thought they should. And Jesus reminds them. He reminds Peter in a passage in Luke chapter 21, verses 15 through 19, it says this. "When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter," and this is following him, asking him to cast out the nets in the pool again, a ton of fish. It says, "When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Feed my lambs.' He said to him a second time, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' And he said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Tend to my sheep.' He said to him the third time, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, 'Do you love me?' And he said to him, 'Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you.' And Jesus said to him, 'Feed my sheep.'" Peter knew exactly what was happening here. For each of the three times that he denied Christ, Christ gave him a chance. This was a public thing that was happening. He gave him a chance three times publicly to say, "I love Christ. I love you." So for each of the denials, he was able to be restored by making a statement of faith. Verse 18, "Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." This he said to show what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." He said to him, "Follow me again." After the first time they went fishing, he said, "Follow me," and they left everything behind. Here they're ashamed. On the fish. They have breakfast together. Jesus restores Peter to his position as a disciple, and then he says, "Follow me." Basically, what Jesus is doing in this instance in restoring Peter and saying, "Feed my lambs," what he's saying is, "I gave you a job. There's no time for a pity party." My mom used to say when I was, you know, just sitting in my sorrow, feeling sorry for myself, she said, "Get up. Stop having a pity party. Stop it." And Jesus is saying, you cannot sit in this sorrow. You're being self-centered here. You know what? I called you. I told you what you were going to do. I have restored you. Now I've called you again to do my work. And he's saying, get up and do it, Peter. Do it. Go and teach others. You now know completely who I am. I am God. I am Savior. I am your Lord. So go and do what I've asked you to do. Go and teach others. In Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20, it says, "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age.'" Jesus made his disciples fishers of men, and he gave the task of the Great Commission to his people. He gives that task to his disciples. He gives that task to all of those today who have placed their faith. You are to go and teach and make disciples. Jesus told his disciples, "You will be fishers of men." It's the same for us. We are to be fishers of men. And why? Well, that first statement that I said, "Cheer up, you're way worse than you know," is followed up by a second statement, "Cheer up, God loves you more than you ever dared to dream. Jesus paid it all for them and for us. He lived perfect and sinless life. Then he went to the cross and he shed his blood, and then he applied that blood to us, and that blood washes us clean. Through his sacrifice, we are made holy, we are made pure in the sight of God. If we have placed our faith in him, we are covered, we're clean, we're loved, we're cherished by God. His actions in going to the cross demonstrated how much God loves us and how much we are worth in the sight of God. Jesus paid it all for his disciples. He's go and be his messengers. Is he who he said he was in Scripture? He's God, he's Lord, he's Savior. When you realize who he is, when you realize the beauty of who he is, what does that do to help you recognize what you really are? You begin to understand that you are a sinner in need of a Savior? Have you come to know his love? He loves you more than you truly can understand. What you understand about his love is only the tip of the iceberg. If you have come to know him, what does he want? He wants us to obey. Obedience is an act of love. It's not something he obligates us to. It's something that he asks us to. And if we are obedient, just reflecting back a tiny portion of the love that he's shown to us. If you truly know what he's done for you, live your life for him so that others will come to know him. You are called to bring people into the church, into the body of Christ. But also know, when you go out, you're not alone. When Peter went out and threw his nets into the water, at the moment, he didn't know who was with him. But he hauled in all these fish and he got this glimpse. Yes, this man was working in this situation. When we go out and we start to reach out to other people, we're not going alone. His Spirit is leading us. His Spirit is working in the hearts of the people that we come into contact with. So, take comfort that the harvest is ripe. There will be people that reject the message. There are going to be people who come to know him and accept him, and you get to be a part of the blessing of seeing their lives change. And even with the ones that reject you, maybe you planted the seed that's going to grow. He was working in the lives of people that went out before. He went out before his message. I start to think about God at work and changing the lives of people to come to know him. I think about Pentecost. At Pentecost, 3,000 people came to know Christ, and more and more and more after that. But in that moment, you know, the disciples started preaching. They started preaching in other tongues, and people came to know God through them. Were those 3,000 people coming to know Christ because of how wonderful Peter and his friends were? No. They were a tool that God used to get his message out, but the Holy Spirit was working in that moment to turn the hearts of those people to him. They were used by God. He wants us to be willing to go. he says, I'm there to help. He can use a wreck of a person like me to take his message. He used Peter, who denied him, abandoned him, and hid in his shame. Wants to use you. He chooses you. Think about what his disciples were willing to go through. Peter eventually died. You know, it said that Jesus said those things to him to show him the manner of death which he was going to die. Of all the disciples, of all the 12, well, just the Jews, but of the 11 disciples, all but one of them died in martyrs. They died for their faith. They taught, and you saw the church grow, but each and every one of them died for their faith. Paul did the same thing. John was the only one that lived until a ripe old age, but even he was tortured and exiled for his faith and teaching the Lord. So think about it. What were his closest friends willing to undergo for him? Are you that committed? Peter was called, he was humble, and he was committed. We are called. In our lives today. We've all been called. We just have to respond. I had this is kind of a pep talk of being courageous. I had a friend and my brother, we were on a business trip with my dad, and some of his business people were there. So we were at the pool one day, and my brother and his friend saw this girl that they really, you know, they thought she was cute, but they didn't want to go talk to her, right? And one of my dad's friends came up to him and said, you know what? She is cute. Why don't you go talk to her? And in unison, they both said, because she might say, get away from me, York. Like, that's the worst thing that could happen. And he said, what is the worst thing that could happen? And they said, so that they allowed the possibility of rejection to keep them from talking to this girl that, you know, nothing, I don't think anything would happen, but they could spend time getting to know her. But they let their fear stop them. We are letting our fear of rejection stop us from going out and telling people. Even though we know that God is working before us. He is preparing the harvest. The harvest is ripe. And we get to be the reapers of the harvest. People will come to know him when we go and we tell them about him. And he's just asking us, go and do it. Think about it. I talked about the honey hole we found when we went fishing. How awesome will it be when we get serious about doing the business of Christ and we find the honey hole? People just start coming. And we get to experience the Holy Spirit working in the lives of others. So I'll say this. You know, this Tuesday is Fat Tuesday. I'm a Louisiana guy, Mardi Gras. Right? So that marks like the lead up season. So, actually, Ash Wednesday, which we don't celebrate as a church here, it starts the season leading up to Easter. Easter is a time of year where people are excited about coming to church. And we have an ability in that time to reach out to people and know that they're probably primed and ready to come to church. So what I would say to you is that this is an easy way into this idea of going and teaching about Christ. You can go, you can just walk in and say, hey, look, we're having a church service on Easter. It's going to teach you about Christ. So come. Come. Be a part of that. Also, too, you have a home that you can use as a place where you can invite people in and let them know who you are because of Christ. And host it. And we all have vocation where we interact with people. We have friends and family, some of whom might not know Christ. Those are easy situations to speak into. So I say, invite, 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 and I reflect the words of Christ. Go. And I reflect to you also what he was saying to Peter and the other disciples. I gave you a job. Get to work. God loves you so much that he would let you spare his own to show you how much you are worth. He loves you that much. Love him enough to get uncomfortable and go and invite him to know him. Truly helps. God, our Father, we thank you for the stories in Scripture that demonstrate to us how powerful and amazing you are. And I thank you for the stories of the men and women who served you in Scripture, because it demonstrates to us that you use weak, sinful people to accomplish your work. So God, we ask that you would use us, build up in us a courage that will ignite a fire in us to go and to teach others about who you are. Because we have the truth of salvation and eternal life, which is what the entire world. God, also remind us that you're working before us, so when we do go, people's lives are going to be changed. We don't have to be worried about rejection. God, we love you. We return this time to you.